The main passage today is Jesus calms a storm. And I have to say, I prepared this before I knew the weather forecast. Okay, Matthew 8:23. Jesus got into a boat and his disciples went with him. Suddenly, a fierce storm hit the lake, and the boat was in danger of sinking, but Jesus was asleep. The disciples went to him and woke him up. "Save us, Lord, we're about to die." "Why are they so frightened?" Jesus answered. "Why are you so frightened?" Jesus answered. "What little faith you have." Then he got up and ordered the winds and waves to stop, and there was a great calm. Everyone was amazed. "What kind of man is this?" they said. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." Good story. Let's look at the context of the story. And if we go back 9 verses, we come across this section entitled "Jesus Heals Many." Matthew 8:14. Jesus went to Peter's home, and there he saw Peter's mother-in-law sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, people brought to Jesus many who had demons in them. Jesus drove out the evil spells with a word and healed all who were sick. He did this to make come true what the prophet Isaiah had said. "He himself took our sickness and carried away our diseases." So let's think of that, about Jesus and the boat. It looks like Jesus could have done that journey on land, but they all traveled by boat. Traveling by boat was quite common, and for many reasons. But in this case, I'm thinking that maybe Jesus needed to sleep. The Passion Translation, in fact, suggests that Jesus was exhausted. I can understand that. Jesus was fully human. So, yes, the spiritual intensity of miracles of healing could easily have left him exhausted. He healed all who were sick, that's it. That's a big thing, right? We're not told for many, but certainly the suggestion is, what do we want to do? So, Jesus is sleeping in this boat. Suddenly, a storm gets up. It's not unusual for some sort of storm to hit us when we're spiritually tired. Opposition from the devil can hit us hardest when we're washed out. So, what kind of storms oppose you? How often is it that it hits when you're at a low point in your energy? We can be most vulnerable to attack when we're tired. And that's true in physical, mental, and spiritual terms. But we aside here, traveling by boat wasn't all that unusual in Jesus' day. Truth is, it wasn't all that unusual, even in Scotland, not all that long ago. I never knew my grandfather. But one of the stories that my mother used to tell me about my grandfather is when he was a young man, just newly married, he was a shipper on Loch Etive's side. I don't know if you know Loch Etive. He shippered the hills to the north of Loch Etive. Let me tell you something. There is no road on the north side of Loch Etive. And the story that my mother quite often told was that my grandfather and grandmother, when they were first married, to get to their cottage, they had to row across the lake to the loch, which meant that three times on a Sunday, they rowed 2 miles to and from church. So, Next time you're wading through the puddles in there, think about it. So, traveling by boat wasn't uncommon. And the Bible talks about it. There's a few occasions when Jesus and the disciples seem to travel by boat to get a wee rest. There's this lovely wee story in Mark chapter 6, verse 31. There were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his disciples didn't even have time to eat. So he said to them, "Let's go off by ourselves to some place where we will be alone and you can rest for a while." So they started out in a boat by themselves in a lonely place. Now, to me, that sounded like they needed some chill time. Actually, if you go on to read the story, that plan didn't quite work out. Because that actually turned into the feeding of the 5,000. They didn't get the chill time. Right, Matthew already points out this story of Jesus in the boat is the only time the Bible talks about Jesus sleeping. Well, sleep is natural for humans, and Jesus was fully human. Matthew Henry then points to this version of Psalms, which talks about what a great blessing it is to sleep in the peace that God brings. Psalm 4:8, "When I lie down, I go to sleep in peace. You alone, O Lord, keep me perfectly safe." Isn't that a wonderful verse? If you've ever had trouble sleeping, try repeating that verse to yourself as you go to bed. "When I lie down, I go to sleep in peace. You alone, O Lord, keep me perfectly safe." So, the disciples wake Jesus up and ask him to save them from the storm. Let's look at Jesus' reaction. The first thing he does isn't to calm the storm. The first thing he does is to ask them why they're afraid. Now, you might think, duh, it's obvious why they're afraid. They're howling gale, it's going to sink the boat. But this is worth thinking about. Jesus uses it as a way of questioning just how much they trust their people in him. Jesus isn't annoyed that they're waking them up, but he is asking why they needed to. Did they not have enough faith to believe that the storm was under God's control? It makes me think of other difficult questions that Jesus asks. In Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Simon, are you asleep? Weren't you able to stay awake even for an hour?" Jesus asks difficult questions of us, and he often uses times of stress to let us see where we're at. Often it's when we're in difficult situations that we can see just how true our commitment is. How many people claim to be Jesus' followers when they were sitting on the hill, eating the free loaves and fish that he had provided? It's easy to make that commitment. How different was it in the middle of the storm? If you're going through tough times, is God asking a question? Could he be trying to get us to consider if there are things that we need to do right? Even if the particular storm isn't related to the problem we're going with, the problem in our life, maybe God wants us to reconsider our priorities, our focus, how we spend our time, our effort, our money. Stormy times can bring up questions for us to consider. Think of the whole story of Job. In all those tough times, Job is wondering about his own priorities. But let's not fall into the classic trap of thinking that when things go wrong, I must be doing something wrong. It's not that simple. The very first verse of the book of Job dispels that whole idea, as it says that Job worshipped God and was faithful to him. He was a good man, careful not to do anything evil. So the storms in our lives aren't some sort of revenge attack, but they can be a real opportunity to turn our eyes to Jesus. Indeed, it's interesting that this passage of the psalm comes directly after a section called The Cost of Following Jesus. Matthew 8:19. A teacher of the law came to him. Teacher, he said, I'm ready to go with you wherever you go. Jesus answered him, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lie down and rest. Another man who was a disciple said, Sir, first let me go back and bury my father. Follow me, Jesus answered, and let the dead bury their own dead. So that's all about commitment, the cost of commitment. So, in the next storm that you face, could Jesus be asking you the question, why are you so frightened? Where's your faith? But Jesus doesn't just ask a difficult question and leave us to figure it out. The very next thing that Jesus does is he quiets the storm. Yes, having allowed the storm to disturb the disciples, Jesus asks them the question, why are you gripped with fear? Where is your faith? And then, because the storm's done its job and exposed their fear, Jesus turns round and he quiets the storm, and the storm stops. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And what impact did this have on the disciples? Everyone was amazed. What kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him. Yeah. So that's why we have storms in our lives. So that we can see the truth about ourselves and the truth about Jesus. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Imagine this. These were mainly fishermen. The wind and the waves were their two biggest fears. They would probably have known people killed by storms. I don't think there are any fishermen who are not afraid of storms. The wind and the waves obey him. What I'm hearing in that is everything which we fear obeys him. That's quite a story. And it's quite a change in the disciples. They're beginning to understand this real deep truth about God. He's in charge of everything. Everything obeys him. There's nothing that you are scared of which is not under God's control. I reckon the disciples have quite often heard Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. After this storm, and after Jesus quieted the storm with a word, that verse really meant something very deep down to them. They knew the truth of the idea that the Lord reigns. So that passage is all about storms. But we can easily relate that to other things that trouble us. Storms aren't all wind and waves. There are emotional storms, there are financial storms, there are storms in your health, there are storms in your mind, there's lots of storms that can attack us. Many things in life feel as if they're going to drown us. And when Jesus calms the storm, he does it with a word. Matthew 10 again. He says, see how easily this was done with the words speaking. Moses commanded the waters with a rod, Joshua with the Ark of the Covenant, Elisha with a prophet's mantle, but Christ with a word. And the effect is huge. It's calm. It's a full, it's a complete calm. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. We can all expect Jesus' word to calm the storm that we're in and to calm it completely. All the effects of the wind are gone. The sea is still. When Jesus takes control, he brings calm into our hearts. A real calm, a deep peace. Lovely verse from John 14:27. Peace is what I leave with you. It's my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. Okay, Matthew has another story about another storm. 6 chapters later, Matthew 14:22. Then Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake while he sent the people away. After sending the people away, he went up a hill himself to pray. When evening came, Jesus was there alone. And by this time, the boat was far out in the lake, tossed about by waves because the wind was blowing against it. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to the disciples walking on the water. When they saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they claimed, they said, and screamed with fear. Jesus spoke to them at once. Courage, he said, it is I, don't be afraid. Then Peter spoke up, Lord, if it's really you, order me to come out and go to you. Come, answered Jesus. So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water to Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he was afraid and started to sink down in the water. Save me, Lord, he cried. At once, Jesus reached out and grabbed hold of him and said, what little faith you have, why did you doubt? They both got into the boat and the wind died down. Then the disciples in the boat worshipped Jesus. Truly you are the Son of God, they exclaimed. That's a remarkable story. And I've often focused on Peter in it. But I've just realized the main focus isn't Peter. It's Jesus and how he handled this occasion. In fact, if you read that story in the book of Mark, Peter doesn't even get a mention. It's all about Jesus. So, let's just imagine that scene for a few minutes. Many of the disciples were experienced fishermen. They knew how dangerous storms could be. And here they are, straining on the oar, struggling to get this boat to safety, and here comes Jesus walking on the water. There's a howling gale going on, and they suddenly see Jesus. To say they were surprised doesn't go far enough. I love the way that this bit is told in the book of Mark. Listen to this, and just imagine how you would feel. Mark 6:48. He saw that his disciples were straining at the oar because they were rowing against the wind. So sometime between 3 and 6 in the morning, he came to them walking on the water. He was going to pass them by. But they saw him walking on the water. It's a ghost, they thought, and screamed. They were all terrified when they saw him. Jesus spoke to them at once. Courage, he said. It's I. Don't be afraid. Here's my suggestion. The next time you're scared, the next time you're terrified, just picture in your head Jesus right in the middle of that situation, right in the middle of that storm. And he's saying to you, courage, it's me, don't be afraid. And in the book of Mark, it finishes that story with this particular line, and this is from the Passion Translation, Mark 6:51. Then he came closer and climbed into the boat with them, and immediately the stormy wind became still. Jesus comes in, the wind goes away. So, what stormy winds does God need to take care of in your life? Is it worries for the future? Is it your health? Is it money? There are storms of all sorts blowing around. What is it that takes your eyes off of Jesus? Peter was able to walk on the water until he started to look more at the storm than Jesus. But as he started to sink, he called out, and Jesus grabbed him. And it was very quiet. All at once, Jesus reached out and grabbed hold of him. No matter what storm you're in right now, Jesus is willing to intervene, to step in, and to sort it out. The more that we look at the storm, the more we feel as if we're sinking. Call out to Jesus, hear his voice, see his hand reaching out to grab you. And he's not being subtle about it. Jesus isn't subtle. Smiling and speaking words of encouragement. He grabs Peter by the scruff of the neck and pulls him up. It's Jesus' reaction to it is urgent and it's dramatic. This is Jesus rescuing Peter in a real practical and physical way. God is able to change around the whole situation which you find yourself in. He can take care of that storm. Just call out. Look to Jesus and expect him to rescue you. He is Lord. Our God reigns.
Is that simple?
Simple to see. Not always simple to grasp in your heart. Let's go back to that first story. Jesus asleep in the boat. That idea of Jesus being asleep and then having to rush into action is an interesting one. Jesus, in his human form, did sleep the same as we do. But the Almighty God is not one to take his eye off the ball for a minute. Psalm 121. Is really great if you're feeling vulnerable. Verse 4, the protector of Israel never dozes or sleeps. On days when the world seems to be getting on top of you, read Psalm 121. Yes, there might be times when God seems to be asleep, but he's not. And when God does intervene, he doesn't do it by halves. He's not the sort of person who wakens up and stumbles around in his slippers for half an hour until he gets his coffee, right? Here's a lovely wee passage, Psalm 78, verse 65, the Passion Translation again. Then all at once the Almighty awakened as though he had been asleep. Like a mighty man he arose, roaring into action. He blasted into battle, driving back every foe, defeating them in disgrace for time and eternity. That's the subtle image to keep in your mind when you think of Jesus rebuking for this song. Like a mighty man, he arose roaring into action. So the picture is not one of subtle here, that the wee timid school teacher or subtle talking to the ringing class and saying, "Now, please, give me a minute's peace to get the register done." It's nothing like that, no. The image of Jesus speaking to that storm is far more the image of a regimental sergeant major shouting, "Attention!" And the woe-betide enemy who doesn't. We're talking about a real authority that Jesus has. An authority that is unquestioned. Jesus spoke, and there was great calm. Now, here's a question for you. What's your biggest fear? What sort of thing grabs your heart and won't let go? What brings in fear and worry, causes little panic attacks? What causes you to plan for the worst possible outcome? For the fisherman, it was fear of the storm. Big storms, wind and waves, those were their worst fears. When Jesus spoke and quieted the storm, they realized that he had it all in his power. The Lord reigns. There is nothing outside his power. There's no fear that he cannot speak to and make obey him. In the midst of your fear, allow yourself to hear the voice of Jesus speaking. Hear him telling that storm to be quiet. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Hear his voice and expect the calm. Now, Jesus linked their fear with a lack of faith. And faith is the antidote to fear. But faith can be a big thing. It can be hard to define. And to be specific in this case, I reckon it's faith of a particular kind that defeats fear. It's faith in God's love for us, which is the thing that can allow us to overcome any fear. When our hearts and minds and souls and spirits are so convinced and so full of God's love, we've no room left for fear. When that love fills us completely, then the love is made perfect. What does the Bible say about love that's been made perfect? 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out all fear. terrible fears, fears of storms of any kind, to be gone in Jesus' name. In their place, allowing God's love to be made perfect in you. Allow yourself to take on board just how infinite God's love is for you. Yes, not just God's love for all of mankind, but God's love for you in particular. You as an individual, God's love for you is without limit. And even if you regard yourself as a poor, wee, lost soul, God's love is without limit. God loves you completely, and He loves you as an individual. Take that on board. Hold on to it. It's so true. Never underestimate God's love for you as you are. How big is that? Well, Jesus was willing to die for you alone. It doesn't get much bigger. To God, you're not just one of the billions of people on earth. God is infinite and He sees you unique. He loves you uniquely. He loves you on a one-to-one basis, face-to-face. So, when you think of that fearful storm, that thing that just fills you with fear, hear the voice of Jesus telling that storm to be quiet, to stop. Let Jesus speak calm into your soul. And in that time of calm, let the love that God has for you fill up all those spaces that fear used to have. God wants to protect you in every storm. He wants to bring you a supernatural calm, a peace that's beyond end. No matter what wind and waves you might have to face, God's love is way bigger than any waves that are breaking over your boat. Now, as the worship group come back to me up and through, let me just read a couple of psalms that I've mentioned before. Sit back, relax, except for the worship group. And as I read these, just think of what storm is it that's bothering me right now. As you listen to them, listen to the description of God and hear the voice of Jesus telling those fears, those storms, to be gone. So, first one is entitled The Lord Reigns. Psalm 97, start with verse 1, and this is the Passion Translation. Yahweh now reigns as King. Let everyone rejoice. His rule extends everywhere, even to distant lands and the islands of the sea. Let them all be glad. Clouds, both dark and mysterious, now surround him. His throne of glory rests upon a foundation of righteousness and justice. All around him burns a blazing glory fire, consuming all his foes. When his lightning strikes, it lights up the world. People are wide-eyed as they tremble and shake. Mountains melt away like wax in a fire when the Lord of all the earth draws near. Heaven's messengers preach righteousness and people everywhere see his glory in the sky. And just to close on Psalm 121, I look up the mountains and hills longing for God's help. But then I realize that our true help and protection come only from the Lord, our Creator, who made the heavens and the earth. He will guard and guide me, never letting me stumble or fall. God is my keeper. He will never forget or ignore me. He will never slumber or sleep. He is the guardian God for his people, Israel. Jehovah himself will watch over you. He's always at your side to shelter you safely in his presence. He's protecting you from all danger, both day and night. He will keep you from every form of evil or calamity as he continually watches over you. You will be guarded by God himself. You will be safe when you leave your home, and safely you will return. He will protect you now